Gary Pompkin.
Well, first of all, I support everything Chris said, and I am a strong believer that we do need face-to-face. And I've had that experience both as a practicing criminal attorney years ago and more recently being president of the Condo Association, where I've had a higher security. And I think anybody here who lives in a condominium that has security knows that there's going to be always that face-to-face contact, whether you're going to drive in or whether you're meeting at the door or if you live in a doorman building in New York City. The reality, I think, of what you're talking about, concierge service, though, this is a really unique situation, as Chris has pointed out. We have a gated community, but we're a municipality. There is no other police department, probably in the United States, that is serving in any form of concierge. The problem is when somebody, the calling for cable service or that park, that's just bad manners, that's rude, and that's not appropriate. But the concierge service we do need is when somebody comes up to that gate and says, I want to visit Chris Hansen, where does he live? And now what we've done is put a policeman, trained policeman, in a role that isn't necessarily what he or she was trained to do. And the other thing they're doing all day is lifting up the gate. So I know we're in a transition, and I know we need to think this through. And while I do believe we need security, and we want the police to be secure, I think the most important thing, and I'm 150%, and I met with the chief about this, in favor and support of the police, but let's not forget, we're talking about the residents' security. And we need to make sure that their job is to protect and serve. I appreciate this concierge element is a hybrid situation in Tuxedo Park. It's just the reality, you know, of having, you know, if we were a homeowners association, we would have a security guard, the force that would be there, and that would be their job. They would be providing security, but they would also be calling, somebody's here to visit, there's a truck coming in. Did you expect these people? Making sure that anybody who walks in and says they're Ted Nugent isn't walking, you know, through. I mean, you know, those kinds of things, unfortunately, are a responsibility that this police department has to undertake and probably in their normal training are not used to having to deal with that. So I think in the thought process here, I think the human element is critical. I think there's got to be a give and take between the training and the police, obviously the manners of the residents, and also, you know, the electronics, I think they're good, and they're probably necessary. We were probably in the dark ages, but they will never, ever, ever be a substitute for face-to-face contact with the authorities.
Thank you so much, Gary. One thing I'd like just to touch on that, you know, Gary is talking about also is that it is a very unique community, and so we have to strike that balance for sure. And this is something that the chief and I have been speaking about, John Moon's been speaking with him about that, and also with the detective. The one thing that I don't think you're really fully aware as a community, and I wasn't going to say anything, but I will say it now, they're getting more calls being cussed out than you can imagine. And that's just not appropriate for us to be conducting ourselves this way. And I'm really embarrassed. I've heard it. I've been in there when it's happened. And it's shocking that we're treating men who literally, you know, are protecting us and are there for us at 3 a.m. or when someone has had a heart attack and they're the first to respond and they're bringing the ambulances in, or when there's been a crime or something horrific has happened. These are gentlemen that we should be treating with respect because they really are wanting to treat us with respect and they are trying to, but to have someone curse at you when you say you can't make the call. Now, if the whole community's gone out and now we're worried about a blackout and we've got to get wheels in motion because there is a crisis happening in the community in that regard, they're definitely in touch with, you know, O&R, letting them know we've got a blackout. We're now implementing emergency plans, etc. But when your own personal cable box has gone out or something has happened to you personally, you know, Mr. McGregor said it quite well, we're going to have to take a responsibility of what we should be calling them on. If it's something that's personal or if it's something that is of you know, the police duties. But we shouldn't be cursing them out. We could disagree, but we should be treating with a little bit more respect. I did have a conversation with an officer the other day who had called me that was really upset that he's being treated the way he is. We have a lot of new officers that are here. Fine. You should see their resumes. Some of the best of the best. And they're very excited to be working here. I'm wanting to keep them. And I don't want it to be said that, you know, if you work there, you're going to be, you know, treated disrespectfully. So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, put that out.
Can I add to that, please?
I would like the
chance to talk. You and Claudio get to talk. What do you want?
Okay.
I'd like to add something, please.
I'll have you add, but I really want to keep letting the audience, you know, the residents speak.
You just took a few minutes to make a point. I'd like to take a few minutes to make another point.
I will do so. Thank you. So I'd like to move on.
Oh, I'm a trust. No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Chief Bortnowski?
No.
Yes.
I have something to say.
I'm sorry.
It's a two-way street.
Trustee McFadden?
Yes, agreed.
Trustee McFadden, 1 second, please. Let's have the residents please speak first. Thank you. Former Chief Bortnowski.
Well, Mayor, as former police chief, I can understand both sides of the argument. You know, I'm receptive to everybody's position here. This is and has been always a public service-oriented department. We don't have a high crime rate. Be thankful for that. It's because of the security here. We do get a lot of calls of a non-police nature. You know, we were told, live with it. Now, during these calls, we get called for a variety of things that might not amount to a criminal complaint. You know, we're not that busy where I felt that we could not do it. In the course of my employment here, I got calls for everything. I had to do sometimes carpentry, a little electrical, you know, shut things down, even one of my officers got called to someone's house after a late event at the Tuxedo Club. The lady said, my zipper is stuck in the back. Now, what did my officer do? You know, at that point in time, just kind of went away and went out the door. And fortunately, nothing happened, and I bawled him out after. Whether or not that was the right thing or the wrong thing, that officer turned out to be a police chief in the future. And he rose through the ranks very quickly, but he learned. Now, there are things you do, things you don't do. Now, as far as the one-on-one contact, I was always for the officers getting to know who the residents are. Everybody got to know me. They knew my name, they knew my face. I retired in 2002, so a lot of people may not know me, the new residents. But I got to know every single resident in here. I had to learn where every house was, every driveway, every open door. I learned who your kids were, whether you had dogs or not. And it was information that helped me protect the people. Not the gun on my side. I have probably about as much training as Officer Tabak, you know, with use of firearms. He has a little bit more than me. But I learned to get to know the people one-on-one where I could look at faces and know whether something was wrong. Although I have my eye on this guy, he was a little spitty. But again, that's the way we worked it over the course of the years. This is 2016, times are changing, I understand that. And as you said, you have all these new officers on that are highly trained that you brought onto the department. Well, here's the problem. Nobody knows them. Mm-hmm. Nobody can name who they are. Nobody knows what they look like. Mm-hmm. The people, I think, want to know who's exactly working for them so that when somebody shows up at their house, I want the officer to know the resident because he might be having a gun pointing at your head. And if they don't know you and you don't know them, you might have an instant confrontation. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's that information, that the familiarization that you're going to need to do your job. And Chief Melchiori comes from a very active department. He's been very successful in running it. And I'm sure he'll do very well here as well. He's trying to make adjustments to a different environment in the same way that if I was to take the chief's position in the village of Monroe, I might have some difficulties as well. So we're both in a adjustment type phase. But again, it's that one-on-one interaction, I think, which was very important, which the people wanted here. And I understand, I used to get calls all the time. Some people could not make a phone call. Could you call the telephone company, notify them? We were not that busy where we couldn't do it. I felt we did have time to do it.
But I don't know anybody that's working here, you know, really in the department anymore, other than maybe a handful of three officers. I met the chief, but I have no idea who the new officers are, and I can't see them myself when I pull up. So that's why I've always been for having a booth and having that one-on-one interaction with the people. And I said information, again, was the key. I wanted my officers to know how to get to every house in the village without even looking at a book, because time is of the essence. If somebody's having a heart attack, there's a burglary going down, I want them there within 3 minutes or less. There's no excuse. Not that we have to call an outside agency and an officer is going to come up and end up getting lost, as a lot of our visitors do. I would like, there are issues involving security here, which I will probably, I would like to sit down with Chief Melchiori, because these are not things I would like to discuss in public, which he should be aware of as far as our vulnerabilities.
Thank you.
Yes, there are some serious vulnerabilities which I know Chief Melchiori has no idea about. I can tell him how every crime has occurred in the village going back 20, 30 years. You know, so the more information he has, the better he can do his job, you know, and in that sense. That's it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Sean, I think you were next, and then Joan, then Alan, then Barbara. Yes, Joan.
No, I was just going to say before the chief spoke that this is not a terribly active police department, although it's necessary for these men to be trained, so in case there is something wrong, they know how to handle it. But there is concierge duty involved. And actually, we've discovered over the years that the more non-police work the police department does, the less real police work they have to do. Years ago, I'm sorry, I don't know you.
Stuart McGregor.
Looking around the room, I thought I was the longest resident here, but I don't know.
See, these meetings are good. You start getting to know even your residents that have been here a long time.
You're right.
Handing out the keys. The police is in charge of the keys, by the way, is a very important thing. The other thing is you can't just drive up to the gate and say Alleman and have the gate open. You just can't do that. I always call the police if I'm expecting someone, and I expect them to call me when that person arrives. I had a person from ServPro the other day. A lady came down, and I called the gate, and I told them she was coming down, and I gave them the time, and asked them would they call me when she arrived. Well, I didn't receive a phone call, but I did receive the woman. And I said to her, I'm terribly sorry, there seems to have been a hold up at the gate, there must have been a lot. Oh, she said, there are a lot of people, and she said, I really think they know me, because the gate went up and the whole line of cars just went through, including her. You know, those things happen, and there used to be a time here when the police had to call us if there was an escape from any of the prisons that, you know, were in the locality. I forget where they were now. There was a juvenile delinquent home somewhere up north. But the police used to call every resident, tell them to stay in the house, lock their doors, take the keys out of the car, and do all that stuff. So there really is an element of concierge work here.
Thank you so much. Alan Yaski, and then Barbara, and then
Peter. I just wanted to bifurcate the conversation a little bit. The original conversation was the keep and the interaction between people coming in and not. And to get to that point, the only compromise I see is opposed to Denise opening the window in Sunbird and leaning out and talking to you, they'll still be visual, mm-hmm. They'll still be one-on-one. It'll be through a very clear system, just like a bank situation or what have you. I don't see that as a great compromise in the issue. The other issue of how we police and what they do, that's a whole separate conversation. But originally we were talking about the booth,
Yes.
And my sense is that one-on-one contact can certainly be kept. Instead of handing a paper out, it'll come out on a drawer, just like a bank teller's drawer. But there'll be certainly one-on-one if you decide to have the booth.
Thank you so much.
That's the only point I want to make.
Thank you, Alan. Barbara, and then you, Peter.
We're competing with one another here, but I think I triumphed finally. I guess not.
I guess I'm sleeping in the garage tonight. I totally agree that police should know residence spaces and vice versa. And therefore I suggest, and not because I love putting together events, why don't we establish something like Police Appreciation Day, when the residents get to meet and celebrate and appreciate the police, get to talk to them, introduce themselves, we mention the accomplishment, and why not?
Exactly. And also because we have such a new force to have to where we do have a welcoming of the
And I think that both sides would welcome it.
So I'll be calling you. We'll do it.
Peter. Wow. Two Reagans in succession. I really appreciate all that the trustees are doing to try to keep us safe and sound. I do want to remind everybody, though, that by reinforcing the gate, as we're apparently doing, we may just be shifting intruders to another access point. And I just want to remind again everyone that, you know, we have a 1,200-unit subdivision, Tuxedo Farms, coming in right next door to us, right on our borderline. If any of you have walked that interface, there is a labyrinth of dirt roads that come right into the village, and you can totally bypass the gate. The problem, as I see it, and it's not an immediate problem, but something that maybe should become part of the overall master plan, is how to prevent these 1,200 homeowners, about 3,000 people are expected to be there at some point. I may be gone by then. Nevertheless, they will have access to the village, totally circumventing our police force. And again, I believe this is in the future, but while you're thinking about it, while you're formulating your plan, I appreciate it if you might take that factor into consideration. Thank you.
Peter, if you wouldn't mind, because I know you know that whole plan pretty well.
I've been lost in those woods plenty of times.
If you could just have a meeting with the chief to kind of go over the lay of the land over there a little bit, because of, you know, it's gone through a lot of transitions, that would be very helpful.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm going to go to Meg real quick since she hasn't spoken, and then we'll go back to the former. Yes, Meg.
I would just like to hear what Trustee McFadden has to say, please.
Okay. We'll do that. If anybody else has any questions, then we'll open it up for the board to make comments.
Okay.
We have two more. Former Chief.
Oh, Mayor, I just wanted to add, tonight on the news I heard, which kind of reiterates my concern, I want people to know the officers. I want the officers to know the people. Tonight, I hear on the news on CNN, a lady calls the police department. She's involved in a carjacking right outside her house. Runs into the house, calls the police. Police show up to the house. Her husband opens up the garage door. He got shot right in the chest by the cops.
Fatal.
Okay, last I heard, he was in critical condition and waiting to see, may not have survived the night. That's the type of problem that I want to avoid. It's our police officers today are being taught to prepare for a immediate confrontation. We're looking at ISIS. Every time you turn on the news channel, you don't want them to become complacent, but you do want them to know who you are.
Right.
And that comes back to my point of if they come to your house and they have their gun out, you want to make sure that you know them, they know you, to avoid such a mishap that could be disastrous in more ways than you can imagine. But I just thought about that incident. And then also, as Mr. Regan and Barbara brought out, and I'm hearing, we're going to have a lot of people living nearby. And they're going to be coming through the woods. You know, and I would want officers to know when they're driving around, they can look at these people and know whether they belong or not.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to do that, and I picked out people about 95% of the time, whether they belonged or they were somebody that walked through. And we're going to be having to deal with this. So again, that's the only reason that I'm pushing for this interaction between the police and the residents, so we all get to know each other You know, the residents can help us, you know, and the police can help the residents, and everybody will do their job. And hopefully it'll be a safer environment.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Ann?
I have a technology question. Are we keeping track of who's actually leaving the park? Or just who's coming in?
We will be. Okay. We will so have, that's part of the plan of technology. Yes.
We have a plan. It's going to read the license plates. It's going to know who you are. So when you come in, you know, access point like Pawtucket Road, Peter. Access points towards the south and towards the southeast. We're going to have remote cameras, remote sensors. So all these things, we are thinking about these things. These things can be monitored remotely, can be monitored far away, and the alarm can be given. I'm not going to reveal too much, but we are thinking about things like that.
Now, this doesn't mean public comment's over, but anybody else that would like to speak right now, and then we can turn it over to the trustee speaking, and then we can go back. Anybody
I'll speak
else?
After David.
Okay. So are we good? Okay. Trustee McFadden, thank you.